Ellie and I grew up going to Boys Brigade camp. That's where we were kind of converted. And every year we used to go to Swanage and pitch a tent with about 100 other people. And they were our kind of formative years. I don't particularly like camping, but the social side was very good. And one of the reasons that I don't like camping is that what happened is that in your tent at night, you'd be nice and snug with other people. And the tents were at the top of the field. And to go to the bathroom, you had to go right down to the bottom of the field. That's where the kind of the pit was and the latrines and the toilets. And the worst thing was waking up in the middle of the night and realizing that you needed to go to the loo. Because you know that you'd have to get out of your warm sleeping bag. And in the dark, you would have to find your way down to the bottom of the field. And if your torch wasn't working, it was a very strange experience to go right to the bottom in the pitch black. And the older boys and girls used to tell the younger boys and girls of times when a young boy had gone down and fallen in the pit and had never been recovered again. Those were the days when you had to kind of, you know, dig out your own toilet and kind of chuck stuff in there. Won't leave it to your imagination anymore. Many of us don't like the dark because we can't see what's happening. And sometimes we're in the dark and we step on things or get hit by things and we don't know what's hit us. The worst thing as a parent, I suppose, is walking, and the worst thing that you can step on is a piece of Lego. Have you ever stepped on a piece of Lego? It's one of the most agonizing experiences ever. Lots of us have had that experience, but I think many of us think that we're living in the dark at the moment in our lives. Many people don't know what's going on. What is it that's hit us? What is it that's hurting us? And in our passage today, I want us to focus really just on one or two verses of that passage that John read out. We're going to mention all of it, but I just want to look at the passage where John says that Jesus stood up and said, "I am the light of the world." John quite rightly said the context for this is the Jewish festival of the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. This was a time when the Jewish people remembered the time that they were in the wilderness, living in tents. And this festival went on for a long time, and Jesus' teaching throughout this time in John has been during the festival. And so when Jesus stands up and says, "I am the light of the world," he is saying something in the context of that festival. And towards the end of the festival, there were these huge candles that were lit, and on top were huge bowls that were lit with a fire, really. And there were four ladders that were put up around the side of the candles, and the priests in training would go up and they would pour oil into these bowls, and there would be amazing light. And then people would dance and sing, thanking God for what he had done, for preserving them, for giving them water and food in the desert when they didn't have anything. And it was an amazing time of joy and festivity. And apparently the light was so bright that it lit up the whole quarter of the city. People could see from all around this amazing light and hear the noise from this festival. And so Jesus, probably standing very near those candles and those bowls, when he says, "I am the light of the world," he's saying something which links into that festival. He's saying, "I am the light of the world." And so I just want to spend a few minutes just looking at what that means. What does Jesus saying, "I am the light of the world," really mean? Well, lightness and darkness are such kind of universal symbols that it might be obvious that it seems what Jesus is saying. I am the light of the world. You might think, well, this is, Jesus is saying he is a good man, he's a good moral teacher, and we are to follow him. And in fact, Jesus will say that shortly. He is a man saying sensible things. Jesus is giving guidance on how to live. Is that what it means when Jesus says, I am the light of the world? Well, I think it's saying far more than that. And the first thing that I want to note, and I suppose is a question for us this morning, is this. Are you in the light about being in the dark? Are you in the light about being in the dark? Look what Jesus says. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. To understand what I am the light of the world means, we have to understand something quite shocking, quite sobering, and quite realistic about ourselves. And John's been building up as we've gone through the gospel, and it's this. Human beings are naturally in the dark. We do not like the light, because light exposes us. Now, don't just take my word for it. Just flick back a few chapters to chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 19. We could have gone back to John 1, but let's go to chapter 3, verse 19. This is what Jesus says. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. There are some animals that don't like being in the light and they go into the corners when light is there. Cockroaches. There are some, like moths, that when they see a light, they fly to the light. We like to think that naturally we're like moths. But naturally, John tells us very clearly from chapter 1 that we're like cockroaches. Light exposes. Let's go back to that illustration of the camps that we were in. My brother, I was a good boy at camp. I didn't get into trouble. I did all the things I had to do. I won the tent competition for making my tent look beautiful. My brother was a naughty boy. And he was part of a group of three who were known as the Tricky Trio. And they played jokes on everyone else. And guess when they decided to play their pranks? Under the cover of darkness. That's when they'd go and take a pair of someone else's underpants and put them up the flagpole. That's when they once took a car from another campsite, and when we woke up in the morning, the car was in the middle of the tent. Very strange. These things go on in darkness because they're not going to be exposed. And that's what John has said from the beginning. Light has come into the world, but people prefer darkness because their deeds are evil. There's a very famous story, you may have heard of it. Arthur Conan Doyle, who wrote the Sherlock Holmes novels, once told this story. This story was told about Conan Doyle, the author. He said that at a dinner party he had attended, the guests began discussing the daily discoveries made to the detriment of people occupying high stations in life and enjoying the confidence of the big business world. Dr. Doyle said it had always been his opinion that there was a skeleton in the closet of every man who had reached the age of 40. This led to a lot of discussion. some of the guests resenting the idea that there was no one who had not in his past something that were better concealed. As a result of the controversy, Dr. Doyle said, it was suggested that his views as to family skeletons be put to the test. The diners selected a man of their acquaintance, whom all knew only as an upright Christian gentleman, whose word was accepted as quickly as his bond, and who stood with the highest in every respect. We wrote a telegram, a letter saying, "All is discovered, flee at once to this pillar of society," said Dr. Doyle, and sent it. The man disappeared the next day and has never been heard from since. Men and women prefer darkness because their deeds are evil. Now, with that in mind, come back to John 8:12. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Light exposes, and so coming into the light is not our natural tendency. And yet Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." Now, how can this be good news then for us if we prefer darkness? Well, it links back to what the Feast of Tabernacles represented. Do you remember in Exodus 14, when the Israelites had gone into the wilderness, how were they guided? They were guided with a pillar of cloud in the daytime to shade them from the heat, and at night a fire that they could follow. And that cloud was none other than the glory of God, the Shekinah glory. It was God's presence that they followed at night by the light and during the day by the shade. Isaiah 4 has the same kind of idea. Let me just read this to you from Isaiah 4. It talks about how there was yet shade for the day. Here we go. "Then the Lord will create over all of Mount Zion and over those who assemble there a cloud of smoke by day and a glow of flaming fire by night. Over all the glory will be a canopy. It will be a shelter and shade from the heat of the day and a refuge and hiding place from the storm and rain." Friends, it's not difficult to say what Jesus is saying then when he says, "I am the light of the world." He is saying, "I am that cloud. I am God. I will give you the shade that you need when you are exposed by your evil deeds. I will be the light that will guide you." That is what Jesus is saying. We know that we cannot hide. We can run, but we cannot hide. And yet Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." He is the shade. He is the guidance. He is the light. So the first thing to note this morning, as I've said, is this. Are you in the light about being in the dark? Now, how do we access that light? Well, Jesus tells us, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I asked the question, didn't I? Are you in the light about being in the dark? But then secondly, to reverse it, are you in the dark about coming into the light? What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it mean here? Is it just that we're to kind of copy what he does? Is that what it means to be in the light? Well, I think it means a little bit more than that. That the rest of the passage that John read, we're not going to go into great detail about that now, but it's all about Jesus saying who he is. He is someone from another world. He says, I am not of this world. Verse 23, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Jesus is saying that he has come from another world. He is light that has come into the darkness. The darkness in John 1 that has not understood the light. But what does it mean to follow Jesus? Well, I think the clue here comes at the end of the passage that was read to us. Verse 27. They did not understand that he was telling them about the Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one who I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. Jesus says, I am going to be lifted up. Now, what's that referring to? Well, I think obviously you will know. It's going to refer to Jesus who will be on the cross, who will be lifted up, who will die a bloody and scandalous death, will be seen as a disgrace, will be seen as a criminal. And yet the amazing thing is that we know, and John makes it clear, and John will make it clear, that it is when Jesus is lifted up in disgrace that he is glorified, that he is exalted. Now, how does that help us? Because when Jesus says, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, following Jesus means a life of self-sacrifice. It's a self-humbling life because Jesus is the Saviour of the world. And so Jesus is crucified. And so as he is lifted up, we follow him. That's the amazing thing about light, isn't it? Light doesn't simply expose. It does expose. But as we read about at the beginning of John's Gospel, in him was the light of life. Light gives life. I know some of you here are very keen gardeners. I am a terrible gardener. I have no real interest in gardening. But I do know one thing. Plants need light for life. I remember from school days, photosynthesis. We need light for life. And when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, not only does he say the light comes into the darkness and the darkness won't receive it, but Jesus is also saying, I am the light of the world, meaning I am the light, I give life. Come and find your life in me. I will give you the strength that you need. I have everything that you need. You see, light exposes, but light always gives life. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? It doesn't simply mean, I'm going to try harder to be like Jesus. Because you know, don't you, that the more in your life that you know who Jesus is and you know how amazing he is, you realize how you're not amazing. There's an amazing truth, isn't there? And lots of people have pointed this out, that very wise, mature Christians, they love Jesus more, and as they love Jesus more, they realize more and more how sinful they are. We've just been singing, haven't we, that song. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Jesus is the light of the world. And when you follow Jesus, the more you follow him, the more you realize that your sins are many, but the more you realize that his mercy is more. Here's what one commentator said this week as I was looking at this passage. Listen to this. This is very profound, I think. It's only when I am charged as guilty that I can receive the verdict of grace from God. It's only when I admit to being what I am not supposed to be that I can be declared what I do not deserve to be. New creations. Let me read that again. It's only when I am charged as guilty that I can receive the verdict of grace from God. It's only when I admit to being what I am not supposed to be that I can be declared what I do not deserve to be. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Following Jesus means seeing him being lifted up, realizing that in his pure holiness, how dirty we are, and yet realizing all the time that even though our sins are many, his mercy is more. And we can come to him and find light and life. It's such a shame that so many people think that becoming a Christian or following Christianity or following Jesus is such a life-denying thing. Oh, if I become a Christian, I won't be able to do this, I won't be able to do that, I won't be able to live my life the way I want to live. And Jesus is saying that it's the opposite. I am the light of the world. You will not be what you were meant to be created to be unless you come to Jesus. He gives light and life and everything. So, we're not to be cockroaches, we're to be moths. Are you in the light about being in the dark? Are you in the dark about coming into the light this morning? Come to Jesus. Come to him saying, I know that my sins are many, but I know because Jesus has been lifted up, his grace is more. Jesus is the light of the world, and we are to follow in his way. And we do that by being together. We do that by looking at the light, the lamp of his word. Let's just spend a few moments just thinking about that great truth. I am the light of the world. Spend a few moments in quiet. Lord, we learn in this passage how Jesus has come from above with his own authority, that he is the one who will be and is lifted up, that what human beings saw as the crucifixion of a common criminal was the exaltation of the Lord of glory. Lord, we thank you that when Jesus says, I am the light of the world, we are to think of that glory cloud in the Exodus, the pillar of cloud that gave shade, the guidance of the fire by night. Lord, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was lifted up, he went into darkness so that we can know and come to the light. Lord, we thank you that the light exposes and yet the light also covers. We thank you, Lord, that although our sins are many, your mercy is more. And that as your children, children of light, we pray, Lord, that we would be witnesses, just as that whole city of Jerusalem, that quarter was kind of lit by those amazing bowls and the candles and the dancing. So, Lord, that would be the sense that East Finchley is here, a light that people would be able to see and would be drawn to Jesus, who truly is the light of the world. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing Light of the World.